Welcome to the Fearless Sellers, the Women of Amazon podcast. I'm Joey Roberts.
There are so many. There are so many at this point, and I think that's a good thing. If you are making mistakes, congratulations, you're on the right path. I think if you're not making mistakes, you're probably not pushing yourself enough. You know, you're not making enough progress in your business, because almost every day I'm like, well, I shouldn't have done that. You know, there's a lot. I think the biggest ones when I got started was listing on my phone. And so this is something, when you come from Poshmark, you're listing on your phone.
Welcome, Emily Baker, to the Fearless Sellers, the Women of Amazon podcast. We are peeling back the curtain on the lucrative world of online sales with the remarkable Emily Baker, the genius behind the crazy flippin' mom social media star. Now, Emily turned a weight loss journey to revamp her closet into a seven-figure business empire. Emily's path to success is a testament to innovation, strategy, and the power of understanding online marketplaces. She's here to share her invaluable insights to navigating the complexities of selling on Amazon and Walmart. So get ready to be inspired and learn a few tricks to create a profitable venture with the unstoppable force that is crazy flippin' mom. Welcome, Emily.
That was amazing. I don't know if I can even follow that up. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I, first of all, have to bring up that I feel like we have been social media besties for years, and it was such an exciting honor to meet you in person a couple weeks ago in Vegas.
That was so fun. And yeah, you're right, because we just immediately were like, we're going to take pictures and have fun. And I think we're all business online, and then in person, we're all just childhood friends, it feels like. And that's why I love the networking part of this.
Yes, it's like we're fast friends. And I knew, watching your social media, I was like, you're super fun. And sometimes I'm fun on social, sometimes I'm not. But I was like, this is why we sell products online, because really, we're just kids at heart and we just want to have fun.
Exactly. Yes. And I have been getting that a lot. That's really funny you bring that up. Somebody was like, you know, I used to sell when I was a kid and you're still doing it. And I was like, actually, yes. Like, I never matured past that point. I just was like, I'll always sell products, work for myself. This is the way to go. But some people think I didn't mature, but I feel good. The IRS says I've matured.
Yeah, it's just like same thing. Like, we have a stand in front of our house selling products, but we found a bigger, better platform that lets us buy bigger, better toys.
Yes. And now instead of we're like, oh, I'm going to put some lemonade out, we're like, let me check the Keepa charts real quick.
Yes. We just got smarter and savvier. That's what the hustle is about. And I admire your hustle. Speaking of your hustle, we chatted briefly and you did say that you started on Poshmark. And I still sell stuff on Poshmark. I love Poshmark. So tell me about that.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is, when I started selling, it's probably been closer to 6 years ago on Poshmark. I thought it was a scam. So I get it when people reach out and they think this is scammy, because is it too good to be true? You can just sell your stuff and make money. And I opened an account, and that was my first question when I was approved. I asked somebody, is this a scam? Are they really giving you money? But as soon as I made my first sale, it was just from my closet, from my husband's closet, getting rid of stuff. I was hooked. And I think you either, it's like a side hustle in your brain, or you put the puzzle together. And for me, it spelled financial freedom immediately, because I thought I could sell this for $5. I just need 50 more things. I could sell for, like, you know, I immediately was doing the math on that. And I love Poshmark. I was in deep with the Posh community, Posh events. I hosted Posh parties. I have a picture with Manish. I loved it. And I still love the community. I have since moved on. But I think that's still probably the easiest platform to get in and sell.
It is. And anybody who hasn't even sold anything online yet, if you're listening, the Poshmark app is laid out so nicely. It's easy to navigate, and it takes nothing to get approved. They're not like going crazy deep into your bank account like Amazon or Walmart. So it's a really nice first step. And I sell all my kids' stuff on there. And I feel like it's just like a little pot of free money sitting there. I'm like, oh, well, if I want to buy some new clothes for my kid for skiing or sell his ski stuff, I just flip it on there. And that's kind of really the only place that I'm reselling at the moment. So I feel like that gets my like, ooh, I can resell.
Yeah. Look at all this money.
I know. But it is really fun. So let's talk about your weight loss journey and how it was kind of a side hustle. But then what happened that it transformed and you were like, let's go all in on this?
Yeah. So that's kind of, and you did your research. Kudos to you, because that was 6 years ago. That was a long time ago. And I post a lot on social media. But yeah, 6 years ago, we had a closet full of stuff that didn't fit us anymore. And we were definitely losing weight, feeling good. And also during that time, my husband's job was not doing well. So it was kind of the mix of, we didn't have clothes that fit us. We had all this stuff laying around we couldn't wear anymore, and we needed clothes. We didn't have money. So that's kind of what I thought. I should sell this stuff. And at the same time, I started going to the thrift store, which I've said this before, but I'd never went to the thrift store before this time, just for Halloween costumes, like not intentionally for myself. And so in my head, my idea of a thrift store was Napoleon Dynamite. That's the movie that comes to mind when he goes to the thrift store and it's all like old and dusty.
Yeah.
So when I went, I found like Free People, new with tags, like fantastic. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. And so that's when I thought, I honestly thought I invented reselling because I was like, I'm going to get this and sell it. I think that's illegal. Or, and I was really private about it because I thought, I don't know if anyone else is doing this. But it was kind of all a mix in that time of selling your own stuff, going to the thrift store, finding amazing products I couldn't believe people were donating. And then that first month, on most of our own clothes, I made a couple $1,000s. And I was hooked. I couldn't believe it. Like, this is real, legal, all of it. I couldn't believe it.
I love it. And that's a good way to put it. It becomes a little addicting. And I'm addicted to selling products online. And I do private label and besides my silly Poshmark. But it, you see that the opportunity to make money is endless. And you just have to repeat it. And you brought this up at the beginning, is knowing how many units to sell. So your mind was like, wait, if I sold one of these for $50 and I sell 50 of them, and then it kind of spirals. So then were you working at the time?
No, I have 4 kids and I was pregnant for my 20s, basically. So wow. My husband worked full time and I was a stay-at-home mom. So I had probably 3 kids at home during that time too. So it was a good way. Like I really wanted to, if you're deep into motherhood, you feel lost a little bit, like you've lost mm-hmm. your identity. And I really, it was an answer to prayer because I really wanted to reinvent myself, to find something that was just, I was building for me, Emily, and not the family life. Not to say I didn't love the family life, but yeah. So this selling became my thing. And I really had a lot of pride in that and loved developing it. But yeah, for years, I was just doing it from home while my kids are at home shopping when they went to daycare or school or babysitter. So very slow growth.
Yeah. And thank you for being so real on being a mom and wanting more than just being a mom, right? Like I'm Ford's mom, but I'm also, you know, to other people, I'm an Amazon seller. I'm their coach. Like I'm a wife, but I need to be Joey. Like I have to be myself. And the reality for you, especially with 4 children, is going back to the grind of a corporate job just isn't in the cards. Like, right, my kid's school ends at 2:40. And yes, he's in like an aftercare program. But let me tell you, kids get sick so much. And then there's so many, like I just had a week off for spring break. Like, why do I get a spring break? I'm an adult.
Like, yeah. I can't imagine now. My kids all have their activities and we want them to be able to do that. They're in scouts and they're in all the sports. And I really love that. My husband has since left his job and has joined me full time. And we make a fantastic team. And I realized as a stay-at-home mom, I love my kids, but I didn't love being a stay-at-home mom. And so I think selling was like this super exciting thing I could build from scratch. And I love this opportunity because my husband was able to come home. He loves being a stay-at-home mom, and he does more. He does more than that, but it fits him so well. And then I can be passionate and crazy and go to events and build this and be online. So I feel so grateful that we've had this opportunity.
And how did it feel to jump into this opportunity and have your husband actually quit his job to join you? Like the excitement, the fear, like what was it?
Yeah. So I would say we were really nervous at the beginning, of course. And I think most women who are motivated, entrepreneurial, we micromanage everything and we control everything. And so that was difficult to give up control over aspects. I think that was probably the biggest thing for me. Just that I wasn't going to be able to control every aspect of the business, that he was also going to be running things. That was, I think for a year or so, that was difficult for us to manage.
I bet. And husband and wife's teams, I admire so much because there's just so many more complicated layers. And especially you guys are reselling and you have a lot going on in your home, as I've seen from your social media. So it's very impressive that you've been able to balance it and stick with it. So how many years have you guys been doing that?
Yeah, we've been, how many years have we been married or how many years have we been selling?
Well, let's do both. How many years married and how many years selling?
So we just celebrated our 15-year anniversary and we've been selling full-time for almost 6 years. So a while now. And actually, I take that back.
Congrats on both milestones.
Thank you. Before selling on Poshmark, I actually sold cars on Craigslist, like side things. So I've been selling longer than that.
Let's break it down for our listeners. You've navigated different reselling options like RA, retail arbitrage, and OA, online arbitrage. Can you just explain the strategies and also why you've picked one or a couple over the others?
Sure. And I think retail and online arbitrage are similar. It's buying any place that's not wholesale, right? So it's buying from Kohl's, Target, Walmart. We do have places online that might be considered more wholesale because the quantity we can purchase from, CVS, Walgreens, and then reselling it on Amazon and Walmart. And it's funny because if people hear this and they're like, isn't that illegal? No. And I should also note, I'm not selling things that say not for individual resale. I'm not opening packages and selling those things individually. I'm just looking for a deal. So I will go into a place like Kohl's, which have great Nike markdowns, Nike shoes, finding something that is profitable enough that I can purchase, list on Amazon and sell it for a profit. Rinse, repeat, times 1,000, right? So that's really the easiest, straightforward way I can explain what online arbitrage is: purchasing things online and having it shipped to you or prep centered, then have sent to a warehouse. And retail arbitrage is going into a store, which I place a lot of pickup orders. So I'm not always going into a store, but retail arbitrage is shopping more locally and then picking that up to then resell.
That's so interesting. So wait, two things. One, I was totally picturing you with like 7 shopping carts, like going up to the register, but you don't have to always do that. You can actually just place it for pickup.
Yeah, of course. And I do like retail arbitrage because it's probably the lowest risk entry point for sellers on Amazon. Like you don't need a lot of capital to get started. You're touching your product, you know, as you purchase it. So you know it's legit, good, new, all those things that kind of concern you when you're placing through someplace you're not familiar with. But if I'm clearance shopping, which Walmart has amazing markdowns at specific times during the year, it will be multiple carts because I have to go in and I'll check out with everything. And then around Q4, that's probably the other time I'm filling up lots of carts. But otherwise, I have a lot of stuff shipped to my house from Walmart, which is crazy because I feel like I'm cheating the whole it's all coming to me, which I love. I love that part.
I love that for you too. That is really eye-opening because I definitely, like, I'm a private label seller. So when I think of reselling, I'm like, that sounds really, I hate shopping in store. So it sounds so challenging to go to the store, but hey, I can shop online and knock it out of the park. So that's a really awesome tip you just dropped there on reselling.
Yeah. I mean, if you're into like the wholesale model, you're getting a catalog and you're scanning the catalog, comparing notes to Amazon. And really, online and retail arbitrage is doing the same thing, but instead of a catalog, you're scanning the Walmart site or Kohl's site and comparing the notes to Amazon. So it's similar practices, I feel like, just different sources.
And what kind of stuff are you specifically looking to sell? Like, what's a good fit for you?
I love groceries. I love the grocery category. It's how I got started because I was always buying groceries and I understood it. I think it's a good starter for most sellers because groceries, well, not as much anymore, but it's cheap. It's a cheap investment. Your money goes a long way in the grocery category. So that's usually what I'm selling. Candy. I love seasonal candy. So think Valentine's Day, I'm selling the Brock's Candy Hearts. Easter, I'm selling Peeps. So all through the holidays, that's something that connects with me the most and I enjoy selling. But I also sell toys. I'll sell anything that's profitable.
And what is profitable to you?
I am looking for 100% return on most of my products. And I usually say if I'm actually going into a store and picking it up myself, I'm not going into a store for less than 100%. But then as things get easier, as things like if it's getting delivered to my house, then okay, let's play with some margins there. If I don't have to do any prep, okay, we'll go even a little bit lower. So I think that's kind of my hope is 100%, but a lot of times that's not realistic, especially when you're competing for buy boxes on Amazon.
Ooh, let's talk about that. So I know all about the buy box as private label and to me, that seems like a big challenge is one, other people jumping on the listing, lowering the price. How do you keep the buy box? And for listeners, the buy box means it's that buy now. And that's what you want. That means you got your price right. It's you're the top one on the listing and people are going to click buy now and give you money.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's all we put the good out on Instagram, but then the actual competitive behind the scenes, the frustrations, that's not always what we share the most about. It can be a lot trying to compete at the buy box. I'm obviously there are buyer or sellers I cannot compete against. They will always win ahead of me. But as an established seller, I've been around for a while. So I have good reviews. I have good account health. And especially if I'm sending the product in FBA, I can generally compete well on the platform. It's just, I love to sell merchant as well. And that's a whole nother conversation of trying to compete at the buy box.
And when there's multiple sellers on one listing, because Amazon is an open marketplace. So when you're especially reselling, it's a common challenge that they'll be other sellers on the same listing. Does this lead to a price war? Like, how do you handle that?
Yeah, it does. I mean, and you're fighting against repricers. So this is something we talk a lot in the community because it's frustrating. People are like, should I keep lowering my price? No, you know, because the repricers now are so quick. You know, back 4 years ago, if you would drop your price, you had 10, 15 minutes of buy box time before repricers start to catch up with you. But now they're so quick, like immediate, that what's the point? So I tend to make a plan for each product I'm sending in with the idea that there are going to be some big sellers I have to wait out. And I am selling fast moving product. I'm selling the seasonal things that you're getting on right now to shop for Easter. So it's usually waiting the big guys out. And then I have a little bit more playtime there.
That makes sense. And then you're also selling the same stuff on Walmart. So you have sales moving on both platforms.
Yes. And Amazon and Walmart are so different. Same idea, obviously, getting something to resell, but they're very different. So especially with profitability, Walmart is way greater right now. So yeah, that makes it helpful. If there's something that tanks on Amazon, most likely nobody's selling it on Walmart.
Interesting. Yes, I love Walmart. It seems to me like it's Amazon 6-7 years ago, but it's growing up really fast. So I keep a close watch on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it, I mean, I think that's why there's not bigger sellers there yet, because they don't have the Keepa charts, ranking systems, anything. And they still need to build out a lot of like the customer service, the backends for protection for sellers. But I think that's the beauty of being a small seller, is you can pivot quickly and you can try lots of things because you're not married to one item, one product. And so I think that's our benefit, that we can try it all, move quickly.
Yeah, exactly. You have to be resilient. You have to be flexible, especially when you're selling on somebody else's platform, right? And that's a good point to bring up. It's like, we're selling on Amazon and on Walmart and TikTok Shop. It's not our website. Like, we don't own that real estate.
Right. For better or worse, right? It's like, well, they make the rules. I'm just here.
Yes. And then what about big brands? So you mentioned Nike, right? And people, everybody wants to resell Nike. And I think that's phenomenal when you're at that level to resell Nike. But what about, like, lately, I think I just saw this week, there's a lot of beauty companies that are saying, nope, no more resellers. Have you faced those kinds of challenges?
Beauty sellers. So this is interesting. When I really started focusing on Amazon, I was selling discontinued product on Amazon. So think the dusty grocery stores. I was finding things that they were not creating anymore, and I was selling deodorant cleaning supplies on Amazon. So the hard to find, highly profitable items. Then shutdown started, and I had to pull all that product because everyone learned the word price gouging. And you can no longer sell like but discontinued, like, say, deodorant, beauty, something. I sold tons of discontinued tampons. And then we got into the shortages, shutdowns, and I had to pull all that. And I saw my friends who were in that space continuing to sell, and they struggled with getting shut down, with price gouging issues, with that. So at that moment, I pretty much pivoted completely out of discontinued in beauty, because it seemed like out of all the products I would list to sell, that would attract the most negative attention. And so if I find something on clearance, like I still do clearance sunscreen, for instance, at Walmart, Overstock, but I don't really get into beauty because, yeah, they're kind of picky over in that space. You can get some major issues if somebody opens a claim, it's inauthentic, damaged, expired. And that happens more, you know, in the beauty than, say, outdoor chalk, you know, gardening supplies. So it's just something I steered clear of after that.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Beauty in general, selling across Amazon, I would say, is not the greatest first product to sell. I sell in the beauty category. I sell some lotions and stuff. And I definitely am glad I'm more of a seasoned seller than trying to tackle that right away, because it shifts and changes and you get these like notices and it's like, okay, let me ride this wave and hopefully I can, you know, sell through my inventory before I have to make all these changes and pay money to the FDA for help. That's a whole nother podcast. But
oh no.
Going back to quantity. So it's like you're saying you'll have to stop selling stuff. How much quantity do you buy at once?
So if I am shopping from Walmart online, you are limited. Like, you can only purchase 12 at a time. Now you can place multiple orders. But then I have a lot of stores around here that are more local that I can place limitless orders. I tend to play it safe. And I'm looking for good FBA shipments. So anywhere between 60 and 150 of anything at a time is ideal. So then I can get out, I like to case pack, so then I can get out a pretty good shipment. Now there are situations where I find really great stuff and I can only get 20, you know, and I'm like, all right, what's going in a box? I'm going to make a lot of money on those 20. I can't really find much more, but smaller quantities. And I feel for somebody with a smaller budget, like myself, we are living off of Amazon. And so I never want to invest, overextend myself too much. That's a safe spot for me. I feel like if I send this in and it doesn't do well, it tanks, I'm restricted, all of a sudden the brand comes in, I'm not losing too much. You know, I can adjust from that. And that's kind of where I like to stay.
Yeah, I like that. I like that approach, play it safe. But yeah, so good to know some people limit to 12, or you can get to your 150. And so to me, it sounds like you're shifting products a lot. Like, how many products do you have listed right now?
You know, right now I turned everything off because I was in Vegas for weeks and I need to focus on that part when I'm fully recovered from Vegas. But usually in my Amazon catalog, I have anywhere between 30 and 50 different ASINs. And you're right, they are rotating all the time. So sometimes I'll have more, sometimes I'll have less. But the thing with me is I'm looking for things that are 100%. So I don't have to go wide on Amazon. I don't have to have a ton of ASINs to make up my goal for the month. I just have to find on the higher end of returns. So sometimes that means I can find two ASINs that are just dominating because maybe they're limited edition. And that's all I have to add to my catalog to really push my number that month. And sometimes the returns are crap and I have to actually add more ASINs to my catalog to make up the difference.
Yeah, totally makes sense. That's very similar to private label. Also, it's like we ride the wave of our product and then you want to add more to your store. So, I mean, that's beauty of selling on Amazon.
Right. You can really have $100 and turn it into $200, $300. And if, I mean, more risks you take, the better return possibly you can have. But I like that is you can really take the risk that you feel comfortable with.
Yes. And when you have bigger margins, like you're saying, you want 100% return. And my first brand that I built from zero to a million in about 10 months, I had to give myself massive margins because I make mistakes. And I made so many mistakes my first year of selling that I probably would have gone way past a million if I hadn't run out of inventory five times that year.
Wow. That's insane.
I love sharing my mistakes and keeping it real because that's what it is of building your own business. So can you tell me some mistakes or like an example of a mistake you made that was a huge learning opportunity that has helped push your success forward?
There are so many. There are so many at this point, and I think that's a good thing. If you are making mistakes, congratulations, you're on the right path. I think if you're not making mistakes, you're probably not pushing yourself enough. You know, you're not making enough progress in your business because almost every day I'm like, well, I shouldn't have done that. You know, there's a lot. I think the biggest ones when I got started was listing on my phone. And so this is something when you come from Poshmark, you're listing on your phone. And so you come to Amazon and I was new and I was like, I can list it on my phone. Let's just know. You shouldn't be listing on your phone. Now there are apps that you can put on your phone to hopefully make better buying decisions. But this is business is something that should be run from a computer. And listing on my phone got me into more trouble than anything else in my career because I would get the wrong listing. And this happened like the first thing I ever listed on Amazon. I listed what I thought was a one pack and it was ended up being a three pack. So those mistakes, and I always tell people don't list on your phone. And that can be a struggle sometimes when you find a really good item and you want to sell it really quick and you're just so eager, but don't list on your phone. You need to be at a desktop to run this business and make the best decisions you can.
That is great, great advice. I mean, I will pull up my app and I'll try to run my PPC campaigns from the app. And it is not the same experience as going to a desktop. So always, unless you are super experienced, start on on your desktop. And that's, it seems so simple, but that's such a great tip.
Yeah, there's so many mistakes I've made, honestly. And I think that's the beauty of getting into community is we're sharing then, and we're not just learning from us, we're learning from everybody's mistakes. And I think it does catapult your business forward.
Yeah, the community, even especially the women community, you know, you and I are both huge on rising and building up women sellers, but it's kind of normalizing the mistakes. And the first time I ran out of inventory, I was just so embarrassed. And I mean, I must have just been so selfish to think I was like the only person who'd ever mismanaged their inventory, right?
Yeah.
And then I tell the community that I was tapped into, which was AMZ Insiders, and it's like, yes, that happens, and this is how you're going to navigate it. And I tried to learn from the mistake. As I said, I did it like 4 more times that year. And I will tell you guys, though, last week I sent my product in on time and I did not even get close to running out of inventory. So it didn't hurt my algorithm at all. So I have completely learned to manage my inventory on my own. I should have learned it earlier. But the community, when you're in this community around the right people, it's so comforting to know we can just share our mistakes and nobody judges. We just try to help you navigate them.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. It is kind of a pride on our part to think we can just do it all and we'll never make mistakes. And I think the pride in this business, ego is a big deal. I mean, the egos we encounter and face are crazy for the bigger sellers. But I think pride is something we all actually struggle with in saying we need help in life, not just selling, but to actually admit that you didn't know and you need help. That's a big deal. And I think awesome to anybody who can share not just the wins, but also ask for help, because we are running this business usually alone. And we're running a business that you probably should have 4 people helping you with, like with your books, with buying, like that's what the skill level you need of so many different people. And it's on you a lot of times to understand your numbers and understand the buying process and the selling process of the seasons. So I think it's ridiculous. I have to tell myself, you're acting ridiculous to think you can do it all on your own all the time. So I think that's so important.
Yes. And I love that you've taken the opportunity also to help other people, right? And that's what I like to do, same as you. And I think we both connect really well on that. It's like, hey, we don't have it completely figured out, but we have been doing this and we have results, both building our businesses above 7 figures, that we believe other people can do it. And anybody who is interested in making money selling products on Amazon or even Walmart, it's like, you and I both want to help them. It's like there's room for all of us to succeed.
Yeah, exactly. You look at how many sales happen daily on Amazon, and it's ridiculous to think that we need to gatekeep any information. Like anyone can eat here. This is a big enough table.
It is, yes. And I just want to be sitting at the table with everybody and we can all build and cheer each other on. And Amazon and Walmart, but Amazon is still growing. It's amazing. Like, you know, their Q4 earnings blew it out of the park. It was like the best they'd ever done, which is a huge sign for people like you and I that there is more and more opportunity to continue to sell.
Exactly. And I think it's a good lesson that you should always be reinventing yourself and not just get kind of stuck in the old way of thinking and doing things, because Amazon is always changing and they're growing and they're looking for growth. So I think that's important for smaller sellers to also take that note and think, how I'm doing things today probably is not going to be how I do things in a year. And it shouldn't be. I should continually be improving on my skill set.
Yes, that is great advice. We have to continue to learn and improve. And that's part of getting out and joining these communities and going to events like Prosper and any event Amazon throws. They're going to drop bombs on the latest and greatest Amazon softwares and opportunities to partner with them. So that's like one of my favorites is when I get to actually go to real Amazon events.
Yeah. I love events, but I love to go and meet people. So I appreciate all the information, but I love the networking part of it. And like you and I met at the last one. I love that. I love getting to connect finally with my online friends in real life.
Yes, exactly. And it's like, there's so much I can learn from you. I mean, we get to connect and feel the energy to cheer each other on, because it's not like a corporate job where you go to work and we're all on the same team. It's like, we have to get out there and build our teams.
Yeah. And especially in this business, it is about who you know. That information can really help you. Maybe not today. Maybe you're not interested in private label today, but just rubbing shoulders and connecting with people who are farther ahead than you, who understand different aspects. It's a little bit selfish, but that can be really helpful when you do have a question come up and you like, I know this person, they would love to help me out, or I can take their program. And I think that just helps down the road. So you have those connections that can assist you.
Yes, I completely agree. And I just love every way to make money on Amazon. Like, I'm in the influencer program. Like, I'm always trying to learn, like, how does this all work to make money? Because at the end of the day, we're all just selling physical products online. And I think that is the best way to build a life of freedom.
Yeah, we basically never grew up. Yes. Bringing it back again. We're still I sold stuff at school and in my front lawn, still doing the same thing. It still makes sense to this day.
It does. It just makes sense. Yes, I sold so many things. Like, if we went through and just laughed at all the stuff that we have sold, it's like phenomenal. And I love that you sold and flipped cars on Craigslist. Thank you for sharing all of your insights. Okay, before we go, what advice do you have for our listeners that might be beginning or started and haven't seen success yet?
You know, I liked when you were talking about mistakes, and I said something I think for me was really inspirational, if I'm tooting my own horn here. But if you're not making mistakes, you're probably not doing enough in your business. You know, and I think that's how we're learning. And so if you're not hitting up against those walls of what you know already, you probably could be moving faster and doing more in your business. So that to me, for me, is pushing myself, you know, connecting with people, connecting with resources that are pushing my business down the road. I only know so not enough, you know, a little amount in this world, but if you're just getting started and you are making mistakes, congratulations, you're on the right path. You should continue to make them. And most important, you should continue to learn from those mistakes. Ask yourself all the questions. There is this small part of us that wants to feel defeated and we should just leave the room. Don't do that. Continue on. We're all here because we made massive mistakes and we just kept on going. So if you're making mistakes, congratulations, don't give up.
Yes, keep making mistakes. Cause yourself some problems so you can keep solving problems and pushing forward. Great advice, Emily. It has been an absolute honor to have you today. And until next time, stay fearless. If you're already selling on Amazon or you're looking to get started and you want my help, go to amzfearless.com to book a free strategy selling session. We can see if we can help you out. That's amzfearless.com. Talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to the Fearless Sellers, the Women of Amazon podcast. Until next time, stay fearless.